Chapter 1. Josh Kent Island, Maryland. Joshua Lane pulled his hands away from the wheel, feeling the vibration as the steering column reacted to the sudden lack of human control. He rubbed the itch above his left eye, then clasped his fingers together and placed them behind his back as he watched the speedometer creep upward. 75 miles per hour. 80. 85. He eased down on the gas pedal, the adrenaline pumping as quickly as the car's cylinders. He tried to force the feeling of helplessness away and reason the fear back down. But he was human, and this response was entirely normal. His eyes were observing the world around him hurtling by at a breakneck pace, and his chest and face felt the acceleration, everything in him screaming to slow down, or at least put his hands back on the wheel. The turn up ahead was registered immediately by the optics on the car's bumper, cross-referencing the visual inputs with the onboard GPS and map data. The internal drive motor handling the steering column snapped to life, and the car eased gracefully into the turn, the auto-shock system applying upward pressure to the left wheels, tossing the vehicle's center of gravity to the right and allowing the car to hit the turn without slowing. He let out a breath of exhilaration. "This is about right," he thought, smiling wide. The car banked easily through the high-speed turn, and he took the opportunity to glance out the window at the Bay Bridge Marina Yacht Club on his left. Tall masts waved back at him, their owners either fast asleep below decks or enjoying the restful tranquility of the island's numerous forested spaces. He understood the draw of the simpler, slower yacht lifestyle, but it was not the lifestyle for him. Lane had chosen a more high-speed lifestyle as a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force. A programmer and software developer by trade, he had spent his time after OTS working with a special anti-terrorism unit that used the latest tech and computing to seek out and destroy terrorist cells worldwide, while most of his action had been experienced from the safety of a bunker in an undisclosed location. He had been on a few deployments that had gotten him up close and personal with the enemy. All of that he had recently traded in for a hard-earned retirement pension and a lucrative career at a new tech startup, Bearbridge Consulting. Mostly working in the private sector, he had been recruited to lead a new team that would interface directly with top levels of the U.S. government. The job at Bearbridge was the type of job his wife Molly liked to joke was too cushy and would only lead to his body growing lethargic and weak, at which point she would inevitably have to leave him. But so far, after a week into the new job, she had not joked about his salary or the perks it had come with. He was driving, or at least riding inside of, one of those perks now. The Bear H7 was a barely street-legal prototype created by the engineering team at Bearbridge, featuring the latest in hybrid engine and electronic drivetrain technology. He had been gifted the car as an enticement to join their team, all thinly veiled under the pretense that he would be able to help advance the state of their already state-of-the-art self-driving and self-diagnostic artificial intelligence unit. So, after his first long week of work, he decided to put the car to the test. He reclined the seat as the H7 hit the William Preston Lane Jr. Memorial Bridge at nearly 100 mph, no longer worried about the car's handling or his rising adrenaline. He jammed the pedal to the floor and felt the tight constriction on his chest as the engine accelerated. His eyes swept over the sleek dashboard, checking for notifications of text messages or missed calls, hoping to have something he could ask the AI's text-to-speech feature to read to or play for him. Instead, the bright, tablet-sized LCD simply displayed the car's current speed and outside temperature. It glowed with an orange hue, automatically adjusting the output levels to a more calm evening tone, awaiting his input. "Bear," he said, clearing his throat. "God, we need to change that name," he thought. "How may I assist you?" The car responded. "I'd like to watch a show, something I can finish before I get home." There was a slight pause. "At this current speed, I'm afraid there are not many." He nudged the brake and watched the car slow to a more reasonable 90 mph. "Here is a list of downloaded content, and if you enable internet bridge connectivity, I can tether through your phone and find additional content." "Sure, why not?" He waited and was impressed to see the results begin appearing on the display less than half a minute later. While the car was a marvel of the latest and greatest in automotive and computing technology, his cell phone was not. It was simply the latest and greatest consumer-grade smartphone. The car's technology was neat. The cellular tech was the latest and greatest. But the tech he had embedded in his mind was on another level. Also still in beta, the implant was the real reason he had been hired at Bearbridge. Knowing the car was not yet equipped with the ability to hear information from his implant, he audibly selected an option, a sitcom that hadn't aired on television in over a decade, and squinted as he realized the massive tablet screen was still somehow too small for entertainment. "Hey," he said, a thought coming to him. "Can you pop that up on the HUD?" He wondered if there were laws against something like that, but then remembered that the car was still subclassified as prototype, intended for testing purposes only. "Better make sure we give it a thorough test in that case," he thought. Bear reacted immediately to his request, and a rectangular image appeared directly in front of him on the windshield, distorted to cancel out the angle of the window itself and provide a luxurious viewing environment for the driver and passenger. At the same time, he felt the gas pedal depress as the car took over the entirety of the driving. "Okay, that's pretty cool." As the car drove over the remainder of the bridge, another vehicle's taillights appeared up ahead. The screen immediately faded to a nearly transparent image, allowing him to clearly see the road ahead as the car deftly maneuvered into the right lane, sped past the truck, and then moved once again into the left of the two lanes. "Okay, that's even cooler," Josh thought. He had been in self-driving cars before, but congressional restrictions and manufacturers' legal departments had forced through rules that made self-driving seem more like assisted driving. If this was the future of vehicular travel, Josh couldn't wait. He relaxed deeper into the leather seat, the temperature-controlled chair adapting to his form and weight perfectly. The car knew he was the only passenger, so it altered the multi-channel sound system's output toward his head as well. As the intro credits for the sitcom began to roll, Josh took a final glance around the car's interior. The dashboard was back to its relatively empty orange glow, and the controls for the buttons and display had dimmed appropriately. His eyes found the rearview mirror as well, and they flicked back toward the virtual screen in front of him. Then he frowned. His eyes worked their way back to the rearview mirror once again. What the hell?